This is Colorado Matters from KCFR News. I'm Ryan Warner. It's day two in our series on the federal farm bill and what it means for Coloradans. Today, organic food. The market for it is growing at about 20% a year. And to meet the demand, more farmers are switching from so-called conventional agriculture to organic. Well, as Congress debates the next farm bill, organic growers are asking for more federal investment. Among them is Steve Ela, who manages Ela Family Farms near Hotchkiss. His family grows organic peaches, apples, and pears there. He's also the board president of the Organic Farming Research Foundation. That's a national group. Steve Ela, join me in the studio. Steve, thanks for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Does your orchard benefit from any farm bill programs right now?
In a variety of ways, yes and no. We don't get any direct payments in terms of like crop subsidies or direct payments to support prices or anything. On the other hand, we do benefit in some ways from disaster payments. So if there's a hard frost and the crop is wiped out in a wide enough area, we are eligible for those, and we have received money in the past on those. But really, normally, it's basically a hands-off approach.
The farm bill is not your bill.
It's not our bill per se.
Yeah,
exactly.
Do you want any of the subsidies that you see more traditional agriculture, more traditional farmers getting?
Not necessarily. I think those subsidies tend sometimes to distort the market a little bit. And we like the freedom of being able to grow what we want to grow, at what quantities we want to grow, when we want to grow it. Whereas with some of the traditional farm bill payments, you get locked into growing certain program crops, the big crops. And so you end up growing more of those because that's where you get your subsidy. What I would rather see instead, and what I really support, and what the organization I work with supports as well, is support for research, background, technical information. Things that allow us to be better growers, have better information, and make better decisions on the farm, but would actually don't give us a direct payment necessarily.
Well, that's interesting. Let's explore that. So how would that work on your farm? You know, give me a crop that you'd love to see more research on.
Well, any of them.
Any of them.
Yeah, that's easy. Let's just take an example. I walk out the door in the morning, let's say yesterday morning, and I have to make a decision this time of year all summer on how much do I irrigate? What do I irrigate? Do I need to do weed control? And how am I going to control the crop load on my trees? And how am I going to control the insects in my trees?
A couple of questions.
Just a few, and that's a start. And so if I have research data to back me up, that a certain moisture content in the soil is best for the trees and for optimal fruit size and quality, or that a tree can carry a certain amount of fruit and have optimal fruit quality as well, then I can make a better decision.
Now, I think people think about a pretty extensive network of, for example, extension services and that being available, in other words, that kind of research. Is that not true for the organic farmer?
It's true and it's growing, but it hasn't been true as much. And the big thing in the organic community right now, what we're pushing for is what we call our fair share. The organic markets have been increasing rapidly over the past few years, 20% growth. It's one of the fastest growing segments of agriculture. It's still relatively small. I mean, we're 3% of the total market. The total research budget for the U.S. Department of Agriculture is about $2 billion. Right now, we're getting about $3 million of that. So it's a 0.6-0.7% of that budget.
Just to restate for listeners, $2 billion is the total budget.
$2
billion. And so you're getting $3
million. $3
million. Okay.
For organic
and
research.
What would you like to see that increase?
Well, we'd like to see if we're 3% of the market, we should get 3% of that $2 billion, which equates to about $60 million. Now, being reasonable and knowing that budgets are tight now, what we're really pushing for in this farm bill is $15 million in mandatory spending for ag research.
I want to make a different distinction now. Instead of saying organic, non-organic, let's make the small and large farm distinction. Do you see in this farm bill, or do you want in this farm bill, more support for smaller operations versus what some would dub corporate farming or more large-scale farming?
That's a difficult question to answer because it has many facets and sides to it. I'm obviously a small grower or medium size, and so, of course, I want to see support for people of my ilk. However, in the organic movement, I think overall it can be scale neutral somewhat, and I think the research we need done now can benefit all sizes of farms.
As I understand it, you would also like to see the Farm Bill encourage certain kinds of farming behavior.
Correct. And what we would term by that, I mentioned a little bit earlier, that commodity payments are for a specific crop. And so you get locked into a certain rotation that includes those commodity crops. if we're going to have farm payments and farm support, what I'd rather see is a more general one that supports you for the types of practices you use. And one of those bills that's been introduced in the 2002 Farm Bill by Senator Harkin from Iowa was the Conservation Security Program. And that essentially established three tiers, and payments increased with those tiers based on environmental stewardship, for one, and several other farm actions, not actual specific crops. The farmer was still left to decide what they wanted to grow on their farm, but they were rewarded if they did it in a way that didn't cause soil erosion, didn't cause pollution, maybe reduced the use of pesticides.
People are going to hear that you said 2002 and think, didn't you get it already?
What happened in 2002 was it was put in as mandatory spending, but the program was scaled back. It was one of the first times in history a mandatory program in the Farm Bill has actually not been fully implemented. So what we're pushing for in the current upcoming Farm Bill is for that program to be fully funded, and I would rather see that kind of payment that gives farmers the ability to make decisions based on what they see on their farm rather than a payment for a direct and specific crop.
Again, this is the Conservation Security Program.
Correct.
And what kind of practice are you doing right now at your farm that would benefit from something like that?
Well, one of the things that the organic community is pushing for is that if you are a certified organic grower, that would qualify in the highest tier. Because we're already inspected. We already submit a substantial amount of paperwork for what we're doing on our farms to promote environmental stewardship. And so I'm a certified organic grower, and that would qualify under that program.
And why should you get money for that? Don't you get to charge more for a peach that's grown that way?
Theoretically, the marketplace is supply and demand. It's a free market out there. I don't automatically get to charge more because I grow it a certain way. However, we've added value by growing things that way. We give a message with our peach. You know, when you buy our peaches, you know, we're growing them in an environmentally sound way. So if we're going to have payments, I would like to see payments based on that.
Farmers who want to go organic, a process that can take up to 3 years, if I'm correct.
Yes, it takes 3 years for transition. So once you go from conventional to organic, you have to go through a three-year process. The theory being that's the system kind of reorients itself. If you have any residues in your soils or on your crops, it's kind of a delay to let things come back into equilibrium.
Well, there is a request, at least in this farm bill, that farmers would have some kind of assistance in making that transition. Can you tell me about that?
That's one of the things on the table. I would rather see the research, some other things such as data collection, you know, what is happening currently on organic farms in terms of production and pricing. But we also know right now nationally, in a number of crops organically, supply is lagging behind demand, especially as we get bigger stores coming into the organic market. We all have heard about Walmart, but there's Safeway, there's Whole Foods, there's Wild Oats. So there's a shortage of supply, and especially for processors. So what's happening is those processors are going to supply the market. They're going overseas for that product.
For organic products.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they are available in other countries, and there are certification programs there. So in the Farm Bill, what we'd rather see is some of that production stay in the United States, and let's support U.S. growers. I mean, nothing against international growers and foreign growers, but
that
why not
of
keep
food security, I guess.
Yeah, back to food security. And a lot of those processors would rather buy it locally.
But if the market is demanding more organic, why shouldn't the market be able to dictate that? Why should the federal government have to aid farmers to make the transition to something that could be hugely profitable?
It comes back that the transition is hard. You're really having to reorient your thinking. You're going from being able to use, and sometimes a magic bullet. You know, if I have an insect problem, I can just spray. Organically, I may not be able to use that material because it's a synthetic material. So I have to approach the problem in different ways. And so it's that reorientation of your thought process and your learning curve that is part of the transition. And it can be very costly. The other thing is you're having to treat your farm organically for those 3 years, and you're not getting any premium payments.
There's just 3 years of kind of void.
So there's a void. So you're having to subsidize that in a sense. So you both have a learning curve that can be expensive because we all make mistakes in that process. And then you're not getting a premium. So that's kind of where we're looking at on those transition payments.
Steve, fundamentally, is there a battle in this farm bill between conventional and organic agriculture?
I don't think it's a battle. In fact, I think all too often we want to make those partitions and an us versus them. I was a conventional grower. I'm a fourth-generation grower. We've been through the whole cycle. And, you know, I've got great friends who are conventional growers. So it's not that they're bad or good or vice versa. But I think especially as the public becomes concerned about pesticide and pesticide use, and we've seen that through EPA with the restriction on the number of materials we can use, growers are looking for alternative ways to do things. The organic movement is certainly the, you know, on one side of the spectrum of that. But what we see in fruits now is a lot of things that have been researched in organics have transferred into the conventional industry. If we can help support the organic industry and learn how to do things, we can all become better growers in certain ways.
That may benefit the rest of farming.
Certainly, yes.
Well, thank you very much for spending some time with us away from the farm.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Steve Ela manages Ela Family Farms near Hotchkiss. He's also the board president of the Organic Farming Research Foundation. Tomorrow, we'll conclude our series on the Farm Bill with a look at how it addresses hunger. Also, the Farm Bill is increasingly about renewable energy, using crops for fuel, not just food. We'll hear more about that as well. To hear all the reports in the series, go to our website, kcfr.org.